Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hope you're having a beautiful fall day this Tuesday. Yesterday, if you were with us, we started a fantastic series by Derek Prince on spiritual warfare. It's really opening up our eyes to the fact that we are in a battle. Whether we're fighting it or not, we're in a battle. And Derek's teaching us how to fight it. One of the first things that he's done is help us to understand the world in which we live. It's sort of like coming out of the Matrix in a sense. It's understanding the world as it really is. He said that there are at least three heavens, the visible heaven, the third heaven, and then there's another heaven or another realm in which Satan's kingdom is located. Now, this changes the way we understand our world. We tend to just look up in the sky and assume that it's just sky and outer space and moon landings. But the fact is that we're living in a world affected by these different tiers of spiritual operation. Now, this is such important material. Find something to take notes with. Listen carefully. And if you have to miss any of this series in the coming week or as long as it lasts, log on to DerekPrince.org. Let's listen now to this fantastic teaching by Derek Prince called The Unseen Battle.
Today I'm going to turn to the book of Daniel for a specific example of spiritual warfare that casts further light on the location of Satan's kingdom. In fact, I'm going to be describing a battle of angels. We'll turn to Daniel chapter 10. In this chapter, Daniel describes how he set himself to pray and seek God for a revelation concerning the future of his people Israel. And for 3 weeks, he devoted himself with special intensity to prayer and waiting on God. At the end of the 3 weeks, an angel from heaven came to Daniel with the answer to his prayer. The angel was so glorious and powerful that all the people with Daniel were scattered, and he was the only one who remained to receive the revelation. Now I'm going to read Daniel's own words describing this visitation in Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 through 6. In those days I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all, until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. As I've already mentioned, Daniel's companions couldn't stand this glorious apparition and just disappeared. Then the angel began to speak to Daniel, and I'm not concerned with all he said, but only with one part of what he said, in verses 12 and 13. Then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." It's important to see that. The first day that Daniel started praying, his prayer was heard and the angel was dispatched with the answer. But the angel didn't arrive on earth with Daniel till 3 weeks or 21 days later. What kept the angel 3 weeks on the journey? The answer is that he was opposed by Satan's angels. Somewhere in the journey from the heaven of God to earth, he had to go through the kingdom of Satan, the territory of Satan, Satan's kingdom in the heavenlies. And there he was opposed by evil angels, who tried to prevent him getting through with the message to Daniel. This is how he describes it. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. That's why the angel took 21 days, because he had resistance, opposition in the heavenlies. Then, behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, or chief angels, or archangels, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Notice, all this took place in the heavenly realms, and we are able to identify certain angelic beings. The leader of Satan's angels is called the prince of the kingdom of Persia, the chief ruler over Persia. Related to him, and apparently under him, were various kings or lesser angels. And then on God's side, the angel that came to help the original angel sent with a message to Daniel was the archangel Michael. Now in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, we read this about Michael. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. The word great prince we can interpret as archangel. This particular archangel, Michael, stands guard over the sons of Daniel's people. In other words, the children of Israel. So Michael, in some special way, is charged by God with watching over the interests and protecting Israel. And because this whole revelation centered around the future of Israel, it was very much in the interests of Israel that the messenger should get through. So when the first angel was held up, then the archangel Michael came to help him. And they battled there with the satanic angels for 21 days. The satanic angels, as I've already said, were represented by one who was known as the prince of the kingdom of Persia, the supreme ruler, and under him various kings or subordinate rulers who, I would imagine, had various areas of authority. For instance, there might be one king over each major city of the Persian Empire, one over each major ethnic group, perhaps one also over each of the various religious and pagan cults of the Persian Empire. But we get this picture of a highly organized, structured kingdom with various areas and descending levels of authority, and its headquarters are in the heavenly, and it's a kingdom of rebellious, fallen angels, spirit beings, persons without bodies. At the end of Daniel chapter 10, the angel again speaks about this conflict. He said to Daniel, "Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia." In other words, the battle against this evil satanic angel that dominated the empire of Persia was not yet complete. There would be further war in the heavens. So the angel continues, "I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come." In other words, once victory has been gained over the evil angel that rules the empire of Persia, the next empire that will arise will be the empire of Greece, and that also will have its own specific evil angel that is the ruler or prince of Greece. And then right at the end, the angel that's speaking to Daniel says this, "Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince." So we see again that the archangel Michael is specifically associated with protecting and watching over the interests of God's people, Israel. And we see that it took the united strength of the first angel and of Michael to overcome these satanic ruling angels in Satan's kingdom that were opposing the outworking of God's purposes for Israel. And let me offer you my personal opinion again, that at this time, in the days in which we now live, the center of the conflict is once again over Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Finally, let me point out to you the effect of Daniel's prayers. To me, this is somewhat staggering. When Daniel started to pray on earth, in a sense, it set all heaven in motion, both the angels of God and the angels of Satan. That gives us a terrific insight into what prayer can do. Also, I'm impressed by the fact that apparently God's angels needed the help of Daniel's prayers to get them through and accomplish their mission. Again, that gives us a tremendous insight into the effectiveness of prayer.
This is such good information, but there's so much more to come as we continue on Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
there's only one thing worse than having a deadly enemy. Having one and not knowing it. Now, in a new book from the writings of Derek Prince, you'll find one of the most comprehensive explorations of Satan's strategies and tactics you will ever read. In Lucifer Exposed, The Devil's Plan to Destroy Your Life, you'll gain powerful insights into the enemy's schemes and discover the spiritual keys to thwarting those attacks and walking in victory. This brand new book from Derek Prince will help you uncover Satan's strategic plan to destroy your life. In Lucifer Exposed, you'll find how to disarm the devil now, so you can experience success in every area. To order your copy of Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Stop his plan. Order Lucifer Exposed. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are just now on the second day of a series on The Unseen Battle, a fantastic teaching by Derek Prince on spiritual warfare. And you've joined us at a great time where you're continuing with us into a great teaching, because Derek is just about to take us into the battlefield of the mind. For many of us, this is where our victory is going to be won. Let's listen.
First of all, as representatives of God's kingdom here on earth, we are committed to an all-out spiritual war with an opposing kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. Secondly, Satan's kingdom is highly organized. We're going to look at two related aspects of this spiritual warfare: the weapons which we must use and the battleground on which the war is fought. Both are revealed in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I'll read the New American Standard Version first. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Notice Paul says, we're living in the flesh, and we're engaged in a war, but our war is not in the fleshly realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. In other words, the weapons that we use must correspond to the nature of the war. If the nature of the war were fleshly or physical, then we could use fleshly or physical weapons. Tanks, bombs, bullets, whatever. But because the war is spiritual and in a spiritual realm, therefore the weapons also must be spiritual. So the version goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Notice our weapons are appropriate to the war, and we are dealing with fortresses. The King James Version reads like this: for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly or physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where the New American Standard says fortresses, the King James says strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. First, let me sum up about the weapons. The weapons are suited to the area of warfare. The warfare is in the spiritual realm, therefore the weapons are spiritual. Now, I'm not going to go into further detail about the weapons now, because that will be my main theme in the two following weeks that I'll be talking to you on this theme of spiritual warfare. So just note that the weapons are spiritual and appropriate to the realm of the warfare, and we'll put that in our pending file until we can deal with it in greater detail in the following 2 weeks. Now, let's look at the battleground. And this is tremendously important, that we understand where the battle is taking place. Speaking of the battleground and our objectives, Paul uses various words, and I'm choosing from various different translations now. But these are the words: imaginations, reasonings, speculations, arguments, knowledge, and thought. One thing is obvious. Every one of those words refers to the same particular realm, the realm of the mind. And this is something we absolutely have to understand. The battleground is in the realm of the mind. Satan is waging an all-out war to captivate the minds of the human race. He's building strongholds and fortresses in their minds. And it's our responsibility as God's representatives to use our spiritual weapons to break down these strongholds and fortresses, to liberate the minds of men and women, and then to bring them in turn into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What a staggering assignment that is. Let's ask ourselves briefly, what kind of strongholds does the Bible indicate? I would suggest to you two fairly common English words that pretty well describe the type of stronghold in people's minds. The words are prejudices and preconceptions. I believe that's exactly what Satan builds in people's minds. You've heard, perhaps, the definition of prejudice. It's being down on what you're not up on. In other words, if you don't know anything about it, it's sure to be wrong. If you weren't the first to think of it, then it's dangerous. If ever that was true of any group of people, it's true of religious people. Almost anything that religious people haven't heard about before, they view with intense fear and suspicion. There's another example of prejudice, which is contained in the famous statement, "Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up." That's prejudice, you see. When a person's mind is already made up in advance, no amount of facts or truth or evidence or reason can change them. Only spiritual weapons can break down those strongholds. You see, people are driven and dominated by prejudices and preconceptions, often to their own destruction. I think of an example that really impressed me, maybe because I'm English by background. But in the American Revolutionary War, when the English soldiers were fighting the American rebels, their idea of war, the English idea of war, was to put on full uniform and march in rank, in very highly colored uniforms, with the drums rolling, into battle. And the American sharpshooters just hid in the trees and in the swamps and simply shot these people down without ever being seen. By our standards today, that would be considered military suicide. But in that time, people couldn't conceive of fighting in any other way. What was that? It was a stronghold of prejudice and preconception that caused the unnecessary death of thousands of English soldiers. That's just an example of how a mental prejudice can drive people to their own destruction. Let's think of some examples of prejudices that grip people's minds. I would say religious cults, political ideologies, and racial prejudices. And they are found frequently amongst professing Christians. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's a stronghold, something that blinds men's minds so that the light of the gospel cannot shine in. And you know that usually when a person is in that condition, it's worse than useless to argue with them. The more you argue, the more they restate the error, and the more firmly they are stuck in that error. The only way to deliver such people is to use our spiritual weapons and break down the strongholds in their minds.
Boy, do I find myself in this teaching. I trust you do too. I know that in my own life, the battlefield is often in my imagination, my mind, and the things that I carry in my head. I'm so thankful that Derek is giving us the keys to victory. You know, until we change our thinking, we can't change our lives. Thank God that we're being given the keys now to live a different life by winning the battle of the mind. There's more to come on Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
The supernatural is real, but how Hollywood portrays it isn't. In his classic booklet, Expelling Demons, Derek Prince illuminates the dark side of the supernatural with the truth. Line by line, Derek reveals what the Bible says about how demons operate today and your authority over them. Now you can draw on Derek's extensive research and discover that as a Christian, you need not fear demons. In fact, It's your job to drive them out. For your free copy of Expelling Demons by Derek Prince, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Expelling Demons is a thought-provoking booklet that tackles this controversial subject, as only Derek Prince can. Call now to order your free copy, 800-448-3261, or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we've been listening to a really strategic and important teaching on the unseen battle, spiritual warfare, and particularly the battle for the mind. You know, I'm sure you've heard the little statement or the little phrase that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's what it is to be really nuts. Well, you know, until we change our thinking, until we win the battle of the mind, we're going to be using outdated weapons or no weapons at all, living our lives in the same old way and expecting different results. That's insanity. You know, during the American Revolution, the British soldiers, at least in the early days of the battle, used old techniques. They wore bright colors. They stood in ranks and fired at the colonists. The colonists, though, wore clothes as close to camouflage as they could manage, and they fired from behind stone walls and behind trees. In other words, they used new ways of warfare that the Indians had taught them. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing now. We're supposed to be learning new ways of battling for our lives. Now, I know that many of us probably don't really relate to the imagery of a soldier or battle or warfare. We would prefer a more loving, a kinder, gentler kind of image. But you know what? If we're going to accept what the Bible says about our lives, we're going to have to understand that one of the definitions of who we are is that we are warriors and that we have to battle. Jesus won the battle, but we have to engage in the mopping up operation, the cleanup after the war has been won. That's what spiritual warfare is all about. And I'm believe with all of my heart that this is one of the missing pieces, in the lives of most Christians, is that they don't think of themselves as battling for the victory that God has ordained for their lives. So we need to renew our minds according to the Word of God and begin to take the authority, take the weapons that God has given us to take hold of the blessings of God. What a tragic thing to come to the end of our lives and realize that we have not lived in the fullness of what we were made for. When I die, I want to know that I have squeezed out of this life everything that God intended for me, every fulfillment of destiny, every blessing, every bit of impact I was meant to have. And I want that for you. That's what we at Derek Prince Ministries want for you, is that you live in the fullness of what God made you to be and what God made you to do. So this teaching on spiritual warfare is vital. Now listen, if you've missed any of this, or if you think you might miss it in the coming weeks, log on to derekprince.org. There you'll be able to listen to it in streaming audio. You'll also be able to find out information about podcasts, so you can listen to it on your iPod or some other kind of player whenever you want. And we also are making available a free resource that you'll find out about there called Expelling Demons. This is a very, very important book, one of Derek's great teachings, and we're making this available to you free to resource your life so you can live in the blessings and the full victory that God ordained for you. Now listen, tomorrow you're going to hear a powerful story about the very fruits of warfare that we're talking about in this series, about the very things Derek is teaching us. You don't want to miss it. Well, listen, that's all the time that we have. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow when the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can get a free copy of Derek's booklet, Expelling Demons, when you call. It's our gift to you for spending time with us today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or, in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online, anytime, at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.